Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Niyavisesa Sunyavadi Paschacharya Shatarine
Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharya Shatarine
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Jaya Shri
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Om Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Anant Koti Vaishnavindu Ki
Jai.
Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur
Ki Jai.
Prem Sikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashari Gaur Bhakti
Jai
Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gokupinath Sham Kun Radha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki
Jai
Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samveta Bhaktivinoda Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Go with fame and on day. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Krishtaya Bhutade. Sri Madhavati Vedanta Samyati Nama. Namaste Sarasati Deve. Gaudavani Pichayana. Nirvishesh Shinivari Pashtu. Happy Akadashi.
Gita Jayanti.
And yeah, actually, this Jayanti, Gita Jayanti term was disapproved by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The Jayanti should be reserved for the appearance of the Lord, his avatars. It's one of those things.
What should we call it?
Advent of Bhagavad Gita or something.
And
this Jayanti, there probably has a small paragraph about it in Bhagavatam, but they use it for anybody now, you know, Mahavir Jayanti, Gandhi Jayanti, but it's meant for Krishna and his incarnations. Of course, Bhagavad Gita is also Krishna. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we're told, disapproved.
Did he disapprove of the name or the occasion? So it is still the day to celebrate Bhagavad Gita.
It's the day. Mokshada, you all get transcendental liberation and engagement in devotional service by the grace of Bhagavad Gita. We all. Okay, we have read about how Maya holds on to everyone except one who surrenders to Krishna is immediately freed from Maya. And still there's four kinds of Duskritana who don't surrender, and there are four kinds of Sukritana, pious persons who do. And now we're on another batch of, what you call them, recalcitrant people, who instead of surrendering to Krishna, surrender to Anya Devata, other deities. Krishna starts out by saying that they're kamais taistair hitagyana, deprived of intelligence, deprived of knowledge because of lust. And he says, but they engage according to their nature. And in fact, I'm the one who makes it possible for him to be steadily devoted to a particular deity. Now, let's see. Did we discuss 22?
No.
Satya shadhaya yuktas tasya radhanam ihate labhata chattata kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. Satya shadhaya yukta, having that inspiration, that faith. What faith? What inspiration? The inspiration that I gave him. He wanted to be devoted to a particular deity. All right, I helped him. Tasya radhanamihade. So he engages in that worship. And labhate chatata kaman. And he gets what it is that he desired. But mayaiva vihitan hitan. Actually, I'm the one who's arranged to give him what it was that he was worshipping that other deity for. Actually, he got it from me through that deity. I'm the one who made his faith steady. I'm the one who arranged to give it to him. After all, I'm in the hearts of the demigods. I make it possible. But they're thinking that it's all the demigod. Oh, Lord Shiva is so kind. Devi is so kind. Actually, it's Krishna who, first of all, gave you the faith, and second of all, gave you the thing. So you're missing the point. Why don't you just go directly to Krishna? Since he's the one it's coming from anyway, and he's the one who's giving you the faith. But they're missing it. That's indicated here. Mayaiva vihitam. Actually, it's arranged by me. Tepi maam eva kontiya. That will come elsewhere. Yajantiya vidhi purvakam. Those who are worshipping other demigods are actually worshipping me, but the wrong way. Those who are getting gifts from the demigods are actually getting gifts from me, but indirectly. So, you know, why are you engaged in all this low-level stuff? Why don't you just get past all this and surrender to me? That's indicated here. Any questions? Yes?
Why is Lord Ram worshipping Shiva then?
Huh?
Lord Krishna wants to worship the sun god for the help of his son?
Yeah, they may offer their obeisances to the demigods. They're respecting, yes, even... One thing is the Vedic system is to be followed by those who are not there yet, who have not surrendered to Krishna. Well, better that you worship the sun, better that you worship Shiva, better that you know, than just being a rascal. So even the Supreme Lord follows that system, offering respect to the different... But he's not offering respect, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We also respect all the demigods. But not, you're the Supreme Personality of God and you're everything. Yes?
Maharaj, this Orthodox Church, when they worship, what is their position?
Orthodox Church?
Yeah, this Catholic...
How did they get into the picture? Orthodox Church? What do I know about the Orthodox Church?
No, but there's a big following they have.
I'm neither churched nor orthodox. I don't know anything about it. How did that... The word orthodox is not mentioned in this verse. Nor church. I can't tell you anything about it. I assume that they're worshipping God and Jesus Christ. That's usually what Christians do.
We do. Yeah, I don't.
Uh-huh. I don't know whether Orthodox, depending on which Orthodox, whether they worship the Virgin Mary or the saints or what else they worship.
Are they right?
Are they right? They're not wrong. They're worshiping God, that's good. They're worshiping the Son of God, that's good. They're worshiping saintly people who are devoted to God, that's good. Might wish that they'd worship the personality of Godhead in his transcendental form as Shamsundar. But, you know, something is something good. Is that enough on the Orthodox Church? Can we have a vote on that? Everyone's had enough about the Orthodox Church. Okay, we can move on. An off-the-wall question that was. We love you, but that was a totally irrelevant question. Antavatu palam te sham tad pavat yalpa medasam. Devan devi ajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. Thinking of becoming Orthodox? Looking for something to do on Sunday? Okay. Antavatu palam te sham. Tad bhavati alpamedhasa. Alpamedhasa is the opposite of sumedhasa. Yajanti hi sumedhasa. Yajyaya sankirtanar prayar yajanti hi sumedhasa. Here alpamedhasa. Alpa means pretty slim. Slim on brain substance here. Why? Because they're going for some result. Phal means fruit or result, which is antavat, temporary. Antavat means having an end. So look at all that. You go through all this trouble, the demons especially. They, you know, they're cutting flesh off their body, they're standing on their toes for 10,000 years, they're doing all this hard, serious tapasya. You see, even today in Malaysia, or is it Malaysia, right, where they Taipusham, or is it Singapore? I think it's Malaysia. Malaysia, they do this Taipusham festival, and they sink hooks into their bodies, and they attach carts to these hooks, and they, you know, serious self-torture, really. And apart from it being pretty ghastly, whatever you get is temporary. So where's your brain, Baba? Alpamedasa. You're short on, you know, when they were giving out the intelligence, you were on the end of the line. Alpamedasa. Therefore, we mentioned those who are worshipping other gods, they're supposed to be incarnations of God. They're not even intelligent. Devan devayajo yanti. And the devayaja, those who are worshipping the demigods, they go to the demigods. But madbhakta yanti mamapi. Those who are worshipping me come to me. They go back to Godhead. That will be coming later. Yanti deva prata devan. Prabhupada quotes that more often. But here the same thing is it said, worship the demigods, you go to the demigods. Worship me, go to me. So where do they get this philosophy? Whatever you worship, you come to the same. No. Worship the demigods, head off to Devaloka. Worship Krishna, you head to Krishna Loka. Just makes sense. Any questions about that? Very straightforward, very clear. People don't read the book.
Can I ask about, can demigods change karma for the living entity? Because, for example,
no.
You say...
They're not in charge of changing karma. They're not in charge of the laws
of
karma.
One worship Ganesh for profit to gain money.
Yeah, then of course, it is your, they award the results only, of your karma.
Only what is the karma...
Yeah, you worship Ganesh, now you're entitled, you know, you got 3 credits or something, and you can buy a, you know, you can get a new car or whatever it is. That
so one gets only what is...
It's karma. This is all within the realm of karma. And the demigods also are not independent. They can't say, well, I'm going to change your karma for you. They're under the laws of karma. I mean, change your karma, like your boss can give you a raise... So that you'd say that changes your karma, but he can only give you a raise if the laws of karma allow him to give it to you. He can't independently say, well, by your destiny you're meant to get $40 a week, but I'm going to raise it to you know, 150. He can't do it.
How about we have particular karma that will have a particular amount of money?
Yeah.
And then we steal some large amount of money. Now, was that within our karma?
Yes. And the results of stealing will also be within your karma.
Uh-huh, yeah. But if we didn't steal, would we still get this money?
Not necessarily. You know, you were destined to get so much white and so much black. But you don't need to steal because a certain amount of white is going to come to you no matter what. Your black means you're trying to get more. It's already going to come to you. You don't need to.
If you don't do anything, still the white money will come to you.
Yeah. You don't do anything, do something, but you don't have to do much. You have to carry out your prescribed duties and not worry about whether it comes to you or not. It'll come.
So why don't we give?
Huh?
Sorry, I was late.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry I was late.
Welcome.
why do we give more respect to demigods?
They're big shots.
What would you mean? Like they're big devotees?
Demigods are, yeah, they're big devotees. They're also very respectable administrators in the universe. You know, if we meet the president, we're respectful. He's just an ordinary Joe, but you say, Mr. President, it's a pleasure to meet you, honor, da-da-da-da-da. We give him a certain amount of respect because he's the president.
But if we want something, so we'll ask the king.
Yeah, you could ask the king. But the king, better to ask Krishna. He's the king of the kings.
If we ask the minister, if we approach the minister as a devotee, or that if we approach a demigod as a devotee, then it is the same, isn't it the same as approaching Krishna himself?
You approach him as a devotee?
Like
means
as a Vaishnava, I mean.
With the idea that he's a Vaishnava?
No, if
you as a devotee approach him, or you approach him,
being a devotee for the Lord's service, or for his service as a Vaishnava, in his service to Krishna.
Yeah, we respect them because they're all serving Krishna. The gopis even were worshipping Katyayani. You're engaged in the service of Krishna, so please give us your blessing that we can be engaged in the service of Krishna. That's all. That's all. Actually, a devotee respects everyone. He respects even the ant. So what to speak of the big demigods?
So it's like you give respect to, like Vaishnava?
Yeah, like, first of all, any superior. Vedic culture, it's not just that we respect Vaishnavas. We respect the ant. We respect the ordinary worker. He's also entitled to some respect. He's a, you know, person. They're all souls, so that they should be respected. They're all part and parcel of Krishna, super souls sitting in everyone's heart. And they should be respected.
So it's our problem.
No, then we distinguish also according to social duty. Then there are some persons who are given special respect. Parents are given more respect. Elder brothers are given more respect. Teachers are given more respect. Because otherwise you have social chaos. If everybody, like, you know, you come up to, the president, Charlie, how's it going? Or the enlisted man comes up to the general, Jack, how are you doing? Nothing can run properly. You know, parent tells the child something, the child says, get off it, will you? I'm, you know, not into it today. You just have a mess. Policeman says, turn right. He says, well, if I feel like it. You turn left. You know, I'm turning left. You turn left too if you had a brain, okay? Well, just go straight. Get out of my way. No. There has to be a system, culture. Actually, culture means how to respect everyone. How to respect even a person in a small position. How to respect a person in a big position. How to respect our friends, how to respect our relatives, how to respect our teachers, how to respect husbands and wives, how to respect everyone.
So in the spiritual world, this thing happens as well?
Oh yeah. In Vaikuntha, everything is very respectful. The Vaikuntha planets, everyone, God is worshipped with the greatest respect, and the servants of God are treated with great respect. But in Goloka Vrindavan, they don't give a damn. They stand on Krishna's shoulders. That's something else. But still, it's expected that the children will respect the parents, the youngers will respect the elders. In human society, if there's no respect, you have barbarianism. You have barbarianism. The actual idea is that the superiors are representatives of God. that there's a chain of authority. At the top of the chain is God Himself, and His representative, His representative, His representative, His representative. But with the child, the parents are God. Not that they're, you know, the Alpha and Omega, the controller of the universe, but they represent the authority of God for the child. The teacher represents the authority of God. Therefore, the teacher should actually be godly. He should actually be representing God. The king should actually be representing God. Because by the grace of God, he's gotten that position and responsibility. So he should actually think that God has given me this, I have to act in the service of God. Then he's representing God. And he's respected.
You know, when you give respect, then you take away from your own ego.
That's good.
So this is one of the reasons as well.
That's, yes, that to be humble is very good for us. It's very good for us. Yeah. And it take away from our ego, but not, it's not just diminishing ego, but it's proper ego. That it's not just that I'm, you know, chipping away till there's no identity left. There's a real identity. What's the real identity? I'm servant. Who am I servant of? I'm servant of God. And servant of God means servant of the servant of God. So it's not just, you know, like, yeah. It puts us in our right position. That if I, at least if I accept that I'm servant of someone, now I can make progress. Who am I? Who should I be serving? There's a story that there was some man in a village. He wanted to serve the greatest person. Greatest person. So he decided to serve the mayor. Then after a while, he saw that the mayor was, you know, offering respect to the governor. He said, heck with this, I'm going to go serve the governor. Then he saw that the governor was serving the king. He said, well, okay, he's off to serve the king. Then he saw that sometimes the king was going off to the forest and taking some flowers and fruits and offering them to a saintly person in the forest. He thought, wow, look at that. Decided to save the, serve the saintly person. Saintly person said, what are you serving me for? You should be serving God. That way he came to the Supreme Person. Okay. Now, another important verse. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mamabuddhayaha param bhavamajananto mamavyayam anuttamam. Very, a capsule refutation of the Mayavad idea. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam. That's it. That's what they think. That from the avyakta, the unmanifest, the impersonal, unknowable, inutterable, absolute truth, vyaktim apannam. From the nirguna Brahman comes the saguna Brahma. From the impersonal, unmanifest, absolute truth comes the form of God. Krishna says, who thinks that way? Abuddhayaha. Those who are short on intelligence. Those who don't have intelligence. Not alpa. Ah, they don't have it. They're not intelligent. Manyante mama buddhi. Those who think about me that way are not intelligent. Param bhava majananto. They don't know my supreme nature. Mamavyayam anuttamam. They don't know that I'm imperishable and anuttama, the most subtle, the supreme. Avyak, this is, our philosophy is that from Krishna, the Krishna extends himself as the impersonal absolute. You know what we mean by the impersonal absolute?
Kind of like energy.
Yeah. That there's, that what is God? God is
cloud.
Yeah, he's everything. He's He's, you know, he's everywhere, but he's nowhere. He's, you can't really describe, he's beyond description, he's beyond form, he's, he has no qualities that we could talk about. He has no color, he has no shape, he has no, you know, he's beyond all that, because form is material, color is material, words are material, names are material.
Personality is material.
Hmm?
And personality is material.
Personality is material. This is all material. But we want to get beyond that to the unlimited God itself. That's the idea. That's the idea. That God. So Krishna says, and then from that they think, of course, there's a certain section of philosophers called the Mayavadi philosophers. They think at the top is that unlimited substance. And one step down from that is God in taking a form. That when God is seen in terms of the qualities of this material world, then he's seen as a person. Really, he's not a person. He's beyond personhood. But when he's somehow or other imagined or conceived or manifest in relation to material qualities, that's the personal God. Well, that's a good question. That's very hard for them to explain. How, you know, from something unmanifest, which would have no personal qualities at all, you know, who decides that some... That's a problem for their philosophy. But that's their idea. That, or they think that actually God has no personality. We project it. Because we can't think of that formless, limitless God, we project our own material ideas. And so we come up with the idea of a God that we can picture, a God that has names and qualities and so on. That's just for the kids, you know, to help them understand it. You know, but really God is beyond all that. That's another way of thinking about it.
Suppose you can't really know God is a person unless, you know, you start the spiritual path.
Unless you?
Unless you start spiritual devotional path.
Yeah, that's exactly. Without embarking on the path of devotion, you're not going to know that person.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people don't have it. They're not on that path, so they don't get it. They're still, you know, in their heads. Well, it seems to me that, you know, no, qualities are material. You know, this glass is material, this paper is material. If God were a person, he'd be, you know, his form would, you know, it would be material also. And God can't be material. So, you know, they're trying to figure it out.
Is that Johnny?
Yeah, they're Gyanis. They're trying to understand it with their limited intelligence. And that's where they get, you know, that's as far as they could go. God is great, God is limit, beyond material, but they can't figure out that saying, well, formless, that's also a limitation. God can have no form. What, says you? Are you the police department that just passed a law that said God's not allowed to have a form? God's not allowed to have qualities, otherwise he's limited. That's the prerogative of God, that he can have unlimited qualities. He can have a form that has no limits. That he can manifest himself and still be unlimited. That they haven't, as you say, without embarking on the path of devotion, they'll never get that.
So Gyani, he's on the yoga ladder. Does he require a spiritual master? It's someone who's like in this yoga ladder, you know, going through all the different rungs.
Spiritual masters required. Even to make progress on the impersonal path, Shankaracharya also said you need a spiritual master. Mm-hmm. Not that for devotional service you need a spiritual master, and for Mayavadi, even the Mayavadis need a spiritual master. Even fighters need a spiritual master. You know, Dronacharya, you know, all the Pandavas, they didn't say, well, you know, I come from a good family, and my dad's a, you know, a fantastic fighter, I'm just going to pick up a sword and go. You know, they went to Dronacharya and submitted themselves as students and learned all the military arts.
So in Varnashram, if the Brahmins or Mayavadis, and you're serving the Mayavadis, you know, the lower serves the higher, what's the real result? Varnashram.
Well, it's not supposed that at the top of the Varnashram ladder are the Mayavadis.
It's a problem.
But even if one offers respect, these are people who are in the mode of goodness, people who've developed, you know, spiritual qualities. You get something there too, even by offering respect. You know, we offer our respect to the Mayavadi sannyasis also. And you're a saintly person. We just offer it from far enough away so that we don't have to hear what they say.
I'd like to know what the Mayavadi, the typical Mayavadi commentary has to say on this verse.
I haven't read their commentary on this verse. I don't know what their idea is. I'm sure they've got one. I'm sure it's tricky enough. But
it's
I haven't.
It's got to be quite crafty.
It would be interesting to know what Shankaracharya says about this verse.
You like Manmana, Baba Mark, they have a pretty.
They've always got something going on. But. Gee, it really seems very clear of yaktam vyaktam apanam. Those who think that, Prabhupada puts it very clear, they think that I was impersonal before and I've now assumed this personality.
This was changed also this
year. Yeah, yeah. Because this is how Prabhupada put it. I think it's more.
It's much better.
I was impersonal before, now I've assumed this personality. That's where they're coming from. Ultimately, I'm impersonal, but I've picked up this personal feature. You know, by contact with Maya, really, that's what they think. That even they think that the greatest manifestation of the material energy is the Supreme Lord. That's their offensive mentality.
So then what does it add for Krishna to say they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable? Here again, as if imperishable is more quality of the person.
Mom, I'm like that. My actual nature, not something above me, because mataparataram nanyat kinchidasti, there's nothing above me. My nature, they don't understand me. Abhyaktam vyaktam apanya. They think that I, you know, was unmanifest, now I'm manifest from something impersonal.
They think I'm perishable.
Yeah, they think I'm perishable.
And do you think manifest as material?
Yeah, that's what saguna, that the absolute truth tinged by material qualities is the Supreme Lord. That's their philosophy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and you look at it and say, what? But that's their idea.
But they think that Krishna gives up his body and then he goes, he's again the impersonal thing.
Yeah, some sort of projection. I don't exactly know how it's supposed to work. So, you know, but by some mystical process, the impersonal absolute becomes a person.
But he becomes Krishna.
Yeah, he becomes Krishna,
else.
He becomes Ram, he becomes whatever. But you're Leo, right? His question is very good. You know, impersonal means there's no thinking, there's no feeling, there's no volition. So, you know, how does an impersonal something decide, now I'm going to become X.
Let us start to think.
It doesn't make sense. Now I'm going to manifest illusion. Why? But when you have the personality of Godhead on top, Now I'm going to manifest myself in the world for a particular purpose. Now I'm going to manifest my Brahma-jyoti for a particular purpose. Now I'm going to create the material energy or manifest the material energy for a certain purpose. Prasya Shakti Vividaiva Shriyatai. Now I'm going to use my different energies for in different ways. That you can conceive of, but how an impersonal something where there's no personal consciousness, you know, where do you get action out of that? Where do you get distinctions out of that? It's very weird. They're stuck. They have serious, serious problems at the end of the day. Yes.
Actually, they think that all material world is illusion. So this, there is philosophy is also part of material world. So this philosophy is also illusion.
Yeah, everything's illusion except my philosophy. Very strange.
Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
In this topic, which is related anyway, I am not sure what to answer to the argument that, well, the proof is that when Krishna left this world, he was shot and he died.
What, you don't know what to answer to that?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what to, I'm always a bit confused.
Kunti Devi says, what is that? Natya Natya Duroyata. Like an actor on the stage. You know, you've seen Sir Laurence Olivier or something, you know, die 100 times. Mm-hmm. You know, actors do it all the time. They die and you know, it's
the movies also.
Part of the drama. Yeah, the movies, you know, whoever it is this week, they're all, you know, I'm sure there's like at least 150 people dying. You know, heroes dying at the end of the film this week. Yeah, but that's it's a show.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'm not sure what is the standard official version of Krishna's departure. Could you clarify that for me?
You can look in third canto, but in 11th canto? Essentially, it's, or 12th. Essentially, as you said, it got shot by a hunter and he left.
Is there a specification whether his body stayed, whether it disappeared?
His body, he left behind, it said in third canto, the universal form.
He left behind a material body to bewilder the atheists, to give them what they
want. Yeah, I heard that before. So is that the correct statement?
It says that, huh?
It says that in the Bhagavatam?
Yeah. Yeah. Swami once explained us that it is like a snake. You know, when a snake sheds the skin, snailing.
Yeah.
So Lord Krishna left that thing and it moves ahead. And also he says that...
Sridhar Swami means commentator on Bhagavatam or Prabhupada's godbrother or our godbrother?
Giriraj Swami. And then he also said that, he mentioned that Samoham Sarve Bhuteshu. He says Krishna is equal to both atheist and the devotees. So the atheists are thinking, oh, he has been
killed. Yeah, it's part of the show. You want to see that I'm dead, okay. Then Prabhupada quotes very much in line with what Leo said, Atapite Deva Padambuja Dvaya. Prasadalesh anugrahita evahi. Janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno. Nachanya eko pichuram dachandam. That one can understand, the demigods pray, that a person who's gotten a little fraction, a little fragment of your mercy, can understand you factually understand your glories, but not those who are thinking for a long time. They'll never get it. It requires a little mercy from the lotus feet of the Lord. Then it's possible. And that leads us into the next verse. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudho yam nabhi janati loko mam ajam avyayam. Naham prakasha sarvasya. I'm not manifest to everyone. Why not? Yoga Maya Samavrita. I'm covered by, it, in the old version, said eternal creative potency.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is weird. It's internal potency, Yoga Maya. Internal potency, Yoga Maya Samavrita. The internal potency covers Krishna from the view of the materialist. They're, he's covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, so they can't see him. Or, even if they see him, they don't see him. Like Kamsa, he saw Krishna, but he didn't see. He couldn't understand that he was seeing the Supreme Personality of God. The, so many, they see Krishna, but they can't understand that he, so it's practically not seen. I'm covered from the vision of the ordinary men. Yoga Maya Samadhi.
Isn't the specifically referring to the people who worship the demigods and the impersonalists? He's putting them together in one kind of a, because he's just finished.
Yeah, it follows onward. You know, I'm not visible to the demigod worshippers. I'm not certainly not visible to the impersonalists. The impersonalists don't want to see me. So they're not going to see me. I'm not visible to anyone except the devotees. Mudha. I'm not visible to the mudhas. Mudha yam na abhijanati. They can't understand me. Loko mam ajamavyam. They can't understand that I'm aja, unborn, and avya, inexhaustible. So the same thing that he just said. Again, he's reinforcing that this is my actual position, and if you're a Mayavadi or a demigod worshipper, you may not get it, but this is the way it is. And I have a potency, Yoga Maya, that prevents you from people in general from seeing. I'm not manifest to everyone. There's a one of the more significant errors in the original Bhagavad Gita, as it is, can be pointed out on page 404. The original said, in the prayers of Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. Kunti prays, O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. So the older edition has Kunti offering a prayer from Ishopanishad, which is pretty substantial error. So here it's straightened out that Kunti does say that the Lord is covered by Yoga Maya, and this Yoga Maya curtain is confirmed in the Ishopanishad. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tatvam pushana pavranu satya dharmaya drishtaya. Hiranmaya patra means the glowing effulgence of the Lord. It's covering your face, mukham. So please remove the glare of the Brahmajyoti so that I can see your Satchidananda Vigraha. This is the meaning. Do we need to break? I don't know. You haven't been working very hard this morning. You've been on break all morning. So we'll keep going. Any questions about this? So here Prabhupada identifies the Yoga Maya with the Brahmajyoti. By the power of Yoga Maya, this Brahmajyoti covers the impersonalists. Okay? Moving ahead? Sure?
Is Yoga Maya and the Brahman different energy or the same energy?
Mm-hmm.
Yoga Maya and the Brahman, are they...
Well, here, usually Yoga Maya is considered one of the potencies of the Lord. Brahman is actually the Lord himself in the impersonal feature. But here Prabhupada closely identifies them and says the Brahma Jyoti is the covering of the internal potency, which, as far as I understand, means the covering arranged by the internal potency or manifest by the internal potency. So Yoga Maya is the potency of the Lord. It's like the secretary, you know. Yes, you may see him. No, you can't see him. So Yoga Maya says, yes, 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 yes. Here's the absolute truth. No form, no qualities, no pastimes, no name, no this, no that. So she's covering their eyes. Just like, you know, you want to blind someone, shine a bright light in his eyes. You know, these transcendentalists, they want to see the great white light. Okay. Now you can't see anything else. You can't see, you know. For you now, there's no form, no qualities, no varieties, no nothing. Why? Because you got a great white light in your eyes. You're blind. You know, what is it when you're driving, the guy shines his brights on you, what happens? Right, you're blind. So it happens in India, it happens everywhere all the time. People are shining their bright lights on you. So here the devotee is praying, please, you know, turn down your brights so that I can see you personally. And for the non-devotee, for the impersonalist, Yoga Maya is arranging. Yes, here's what you're looking for.
I wonder, from the point of Krishna, Yoga Maya is covering him. From the point of living entities.
Point of living entity, he thinks he's made it. He's attained the perfection. He's now, you know, realized the ultimate. Or, you know, it's time to merge.
Actually, how we see this Yoga Maya, like Yoga Maya or like Mahamaya?
Huh?
For the living entity.
Depends. For the ordinary, the internal potency acts in the material world through the external potency. The external potency is also a part and parcel of the internal potency. Actually, everything is the internal potency of the Lord. But then he, you know, allocates a section. Okay, you're external. Just like the shadow is an extension of my body. It's not separate from my body. It's not something else. It's because my body is here. It's manifest in the shadow form also. Shrishti, stiti, palayasadana, shaktire, chayeva yasya. The external energy acts like the shadow. So the external energy is the shadow of the internal potency.
It's coming from the internal, but you have a different function.
Yeah, just like the light and shadow. Light illuminates and shadow obscures. But the shadow acts, you know, as you move the light, the shadow moves.
Mahamaya is shadow of Yoga Maya. Mahamaya is shadow of Yoga Maya.
Even, were you at that initiation in New York? There was one initiation in New York, big initiation. There were like lots of big initiations day after day because a lot of devotees had joined. And Prabhupada was initiating so many devotees. And he initiated one girl as Mahamaya. And
that's right there.
Huh?
That's her house right there.
That's her house right there.
Yeah.
She wrote this book about Prabhupada?
Huh?
Did she write this book about Prabhupada?
Yeah, she's written several books, actually, I think. So she, so the devotees left. Prabhupada said, don't laugh. He said, Mahamaya is another face of Radharani. Krishna's energy.
Would it be correct to use like when Krishna appeared to the gopis as Vishnu, as Lord Vishnu, he was also maybe testing them, see their reaction. They could have said, oh, well, you are the person we are looking for, actually, because you and Krishna are the same. So doesn't Krishna blind those people who will be satisfied with that light?
See, this is also Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya partly reveals and partly conceals. Yoga Maya acts in many different ways. In Vrindavan, Yoga Maya is very active. Pretty tired today. Yoga Maya acts to reveal Krishna and to conceal Krishna at the same time. So Yashodamaya is realizing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has all the planets in his mouth. He's got everything. So Yoga Maya is revealing that, but then she's also, no, stop your nonsense. Shut your mouth and don't eat dirt anymore. So this is Yoga Maya's business, to reveal, to conceal. So for the devotees, she acts in such a way as to do these things in a manner that increases their love for Krishna and increases their intimate exchanges with Krishna. And with the non-devotees, she does it in such a way as to keep them out. They can't get in. That's the business of a gatekeeper, to let people in and to keep people out. Yoga Maya Samavratad, Mudhoyam. The Yoga Maya keeps the mudhas out. And Yoga Maya arranges all these wonderful exchanges with Krishna for the devotees. Yoga Maya. Big energy. Internal potency of Krishna. Ministry of Home Affairs. Moving on. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani trajuna bhavishyani chaputani mam tu veda nakashchana. This is the position of Krishna. He knows everything about the past. He knows everything about the present, Vartamanani. The major Calcutta newspaper is called Vartaman. Right? Means what's happening now.
And also it's like Vartaman Kal and Bhavishyat Kal. Bhavishyat is future, Vartaman is present.
Vartaman's present. So that's the newspaper's name, Vartaman. Big Calcutta newspaper. Vartamanani Charjan. I know everything that's going on at the present. And bhavishyani cha, I also know the future. Chaputani, I know the past, present, and future of all living beings. But mam tu veda na kashchana, hardly anyone knows me. Manusyanam sahasre, so many, hardly anyone understands me. Mam tu veda na kashchana. Clear?
How's this in relation to the conversation? Why is he saying this now?
Why is it here in this place in Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.
Again, Krishna is telling of his glories, his position, I can't say exactly why, you know, why now, why this. But in this entire chapter, we're learning about the transcendental nature of Krishna. So this is Krishna's position.
One question is Advaita Charya is a Krishna.
Oh, you have a question about what we're talking about?
But it's like similar to that.
Is Advaita Charya Vishnu? What does that have to do with this topic?
It's like Krishna has an eternal form, then why Advaita Charya comes in the form of old man?
That's a different topic. At the Orthodox Church, they can come.
They want to show that the God is very wise. That's why.
Huh?
They want to show that.
No, his question is why Advaita Charya is
there. But
this is. Let's leave this to another time, okay? We'll stay focused on topic. If you want something else that's on topic, people typically ask, well, if God knows the future, then how can we have free will? But that's Krishna, that even when it's open, he knows the future. Even we have the capability to a certain extent. Things are open, and still we know what's going to happen. Yeah, any one of us knows a certain thing about the future. You know, you put candy in front of a kid. Anyone can tell you what the future is going to be.
Candy will disappear.
Although the kid has free will, he can, you know, turn around and go the other way. But a person who's experienced, knowledgeable, he'll understand what this kid is going to do. So every one of us can predict the future. You know, I drink a liter of water, you know, within a certain amount of time, I can predict the future. So, anyone can understand the future to a limited extent. To a limited extent. But Krishna can understand unlimited. Even if you want to know some freaky stuff, this is from parapsychology, that they did some experiments. I think I talked about them the other day, remote viewing. And here, this was the protocol. There's like 40 different pictures of different places to choose from. And some, by random, they choose one picture and put it in an envelope. By random, they choose one place, and then the person goes to that place and broadcasts, this is what I'm seeing. And someone else is sitting in the laboratory and he's reporting, I think I see... You know, I see everything's very white, and there are like vertical shapes going up, and are there trees and plants? No, everything is like stone. You know, they'll describe what they see. And statistically, they find that people, to a significant extent, get it. You know, picture was like a mountain with tall buildings along the side, you know, then they start seeing these stone and columns and concrete. And if it was like by the seashore, people would say, everything's very open. And I hear, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, waves or I'm not quite sure, but, you know, there's like, everything's very, very open and there's, you know, are there trees and grass? Yeah, there's trees and grass, and then there's this like blue area. You know, they made it into objective scores, open, closed, white colors, vegetation, no vegetation. You know, things that you could tick off and measure to make a picture objective. You know, like if you had to describe this area, concrete, you know, closed, no, open. Green, yeah, a lot of trees and green. Water, no, not much water. A lot of tall vertical shapes, no, not really. Some building, yeah. So you could you know, get an accuracy score. So they found statistically significant accuracy scores where people were broadcasting this and the guy was getting it. Okay, that's weird. This is more weird. They had the guy in the laboratory. They had him reporting what was being broadcast. 2 days later, they chose the site and sent the person to do the broadcasting. Huh?
What?
I didn't get it.
Instead of having, you know, like you're off in Navadvip broadcasting what you see, and I'm saying, I see, you know, whatever it is that you see in Navadvip. Now I still sit in the laboratory, I visualize what you're sending me, but you don't go out and send it till 2 days later. It's like getting the letter 2 days before it's sent.
Oh, man.
Turning on the TV program 2 days before they broadcast it.
Seeing
the future. Yeah, statistically documented, double-blind protocols for those who know science, you know. That's not supposed to happen. This is Princeton University. These things don't happen in Princeton University. But they do. So it indicates that even tiny little living entities like us have some ability to know the future, even though, you know, the picture hasn't been chosen yet, the place hasn't been chosen yet, there's 50 of them, it could be any one of the 50. Go figure. It means time is weird. Time is weird. Precognitive capability is there even in the little time. So then what to speak of, you know, if God is unlimited, what's the difficulty? No, if God knows, then it's not big. Yeah, even we know. Things that are absolutely not decided yet. In the words of the sages, go figure. If it's possible for us to a limited degree, then how much Krishna has this capability? He knows everything, past, present, and future. Any questions?
Based on what you just said about the sometimes capability for thinking in the future, I think there's some reality in the fortune telling.
Depends who's doing the fortune telling.
Omens.
There's some sort of reality. Sometimes the reality is that you've got a real sharp person and she knows how to tell you the story that you're going to believe and collect your rupees, you know. That's one way that it happens, you know. That's one kind of reality. It's not what you think it is, but it's something else. But there are people who can see the future. Scientists can predict the future. You know, they'll say this building will last 40 years. No. They know. But then there's other people who know more subtle things. They look in, you know, they look at what time you were born, and they tell you, you know, when you're going to die, or whether or not you're going to get married, or whether or not, you know, you'll be do well in school, or a whole lot of other things. How can they do that? Yeah. They can do it. They can fake it too. There are people who can't do it but pretend they can. Or people who are, you know, sometimes get it and sometimes not. You know, like most of the time don't get it but fake it anyway. And there are people who are, you know, exceedingly good. It's a science.
Paramatma have any role in this? Paramatma have any role in this? Paramatma.
Paramatma? He has a role in everything. Without Paramatma, you can't even add, you know, a sum of figures. You can't add 2 plus 2 and get the right answer without Paramatma. So these people, you know, by the grace of Paramatma, they can look at a, you know, just a little group of 9 planets stuck on a chart and say, you know, all sorts of things. I walked in on an astrologer was talking to Kesha Bharti Maharaj. I walked in, he said, your birthday is soon. It was. Yeah, people have these abilities. All sorts of... The world is a lot weirder than the hard scientists would like to admit.
How about predictions for the future from Bhrigu Samhita?
Bhrigu Samhita, Bhrigu Samhita is there, Prabhupada mentions it. It's, but, you know, not every Bhrigu Samhita is Bhrigu Samhita. You know, not every fortune teller can tell your fortune. Not every astrologer really knows what's in your stars. Not every mystic can see something. But these things, you know, the place is weird. There's a lot of people who have these, like Prabhupada, like around here, Prabhupada said, there are these Muslims who can chant mantras and cure snake bites. Yeah? How do you do that? That doesn't make any sense. But they can. There was a guy in Vrindavan. If you had jaundice, he could pour water on your head and shoulders and arms and rub your head and shoulders and arms with mango bark. And the worse you had jaundice, the more yellow the water would be. And when you were cured, the water would be clear. And his cure was to pour water on your head and shoulders and rub them with mango bark. That's not supposed to work. But it does.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It works. It's the leaves of the, what do you call it? No. The dal that we cook sambar with.
Tur dal?
That's
tur dal.
No, the leaves are...
It's a kind of lentil. The leaves of that lentil has got the medicine. So they give the medicine and that thing. And apparently, if you take, whether you have jaundice or no jaundice, if you take mango bark, and if you put lime on it, and you pour water, the water will turn yellow.
Sorry. I was there. I had super jaundice. I went to Vrindavan and, you know, went and saw the guy.
Yeah.
You can pour the water yourself. You can choose which mango bark to use. You can rub it yourself.
Mm.
If you have jaundice, it'll be yellow. If you don't have jaundice, it'll be clear.
There's these other people in Vrindavan that do a similar thing for jaundice. They bathe you in cow urine. And with a peacock fan, they'll chant a few mantras and, you know.
I mean, and there's also cheaters, you know.
There was a sage in Vrindavan. I have some problem in my stomach. There are some insect in my stomach.
Everybody's got something. I mean, we can go on and on with these stories.
Peacock fan and on me and all the...
there are all these, I'll give you one. We had people came to one year. Some devotees came. All the devotees came for the Mayapur festival. And... one lady had cooked a cake in America. And her husband came to Mayapur, and the sannyasis all grabbed the cake. You know, all these those were the days of tough sannyasis, you know, they I forget whether they grabbed it or they were the grateful recipients. Anyway, they did up the cake. But the cake had traveled from New York to London, from London to Calcutta, from Calcutta, you know, on the road, you know, in the heat, in the midday. Anyway, it became totally poisonous. And the next thing you knew, you were seeing all these sannyasis on the top of the Lotus Building, which at that time was just a construction site, writhing in pain and retching. You know, vomiting and suffering. So they told Prabhupada, you know, this is going on. These guys are going to die or something. You know, they're in the middle of Mayapur. And at that time, it was Mayapur was prairie. You know, it was just, there was nothing here. And there were all these, you know, Western sannyasis who were going to die. No doctor, no nothing. Prabhupada said, tell them, they should take Charanamrita and chant Hare Krishna, in 3 days they'll be cured. Or they should just take Charanamrita and they'll be all right. They did? They were. Yeah, that's not... I have another story from Murari Gupta, another, you know, one unconventional thing. But, you know, we can tell stories from... there'll be no Bhagavad Gita class, but we'll all tell weird stories of strange things that happen.
Is that Prabhupada's power or Charanamrita power? Or both?
No difference. But in conclusion, there are these capabilities that people have to see the future. There's a lot of documentation on it. It's not very mainline in science, but not for any good reason. You know, the scientists don't like it, that's all. Even though it's rigidly, you know, experiments are rigid, more rigid than most experiments. The numbers have been reviewed by every statistician, you know, worth his salt. There's nothing wrong with it, and still they say, it's like the story of the two farmers. They went to a fair, and they saw a camel. You know, it's like weird. You know, a camel, like two American farmers, you know, they went to a fair and they saw a camel. And they looked at it, and they looked at it, and they looked at it. Finally, the one farmer turned to the other and said, there ain't no such animal.
What is it?
There ain't no such animal. Walked away. So these things are there, that, you know, the future is visible. Narad Muni can see the, you know, so what to speak of Krishna? He knows past, present, and future. But no one knows Krishna. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Hardly anyone. Kashchit means hardly anyone. Of free will?
Yeah.
It's there.
It's there.
Small, but it's there.
So, isn't this contradictory?
Yes.
It is. So what is your answer?
That, that contradictory doesn't stop it from happening. Same thing, that even in the material world, it's not yet decided, but you know already what's going to happen. Totally undecided. That even, yeah, again, totally undecided. They don't know which picture it's going to be, which place is going to be chosen, but already I'm getting the broadcasts. How is that possible? It's not possible.
Okay, you can say mystic powers.
Yeah, mystic power.
Okay.
Mystic power is what, you know what mystic power is? It's what we can't explain. You know, just like a tree is drinking water with its feet, and producing little capsules of citric acid called lemons. You know how to do that? For the tree, it's an everyday business. For us, it's mystic power. We don't know how it's possible. You know, I have a friend. He's a businessman. He'll ask like two or three questions, like, you know, how many people come into your restaurant in a day? Uh-huh. And, you know, one or two questions like that, you're losing money, aren't you? You know, I can't, for me, that's like a mystic power. He'll just ask a couple of questions, you know, what's the average person spend? How many customers do you have in a day? You're going to go out of business. Boom. He knows it, you know, he's done all the calculations, and he knows the person's whole financial situation. That's all, like mystic power for me. That's what we think. That if somebody knows what's going to happen, it must already be fixed. But it's open, and he still knows. From our point of view, you can only know something if it's decided. Fact is, it's not decided, but he already knows. And I've given the example. That somebody, there, you know, 50 pictures, you don't know which one's going to be chosen, but he already knows. How is that possible? It's not possible. Therefore, it can't happen. That's what the scientists concluded. It's not possible, therefore it can't happen.
But it does.
But the experimental evidence is that it happens anyway. What's the problem with that? Problem is it's weird. There's nothing wrong with the experiment. There's nothing wrong with the results. The only problem is it's too damn weird.
It should not happen.
And therefore it can't be right.
Like
it can't be right.
Like the farmer and the camel.
Yeah, like the farmer and the camel. It can't be right. But it's right anyway. So it happens. We don't understand it. You know, how is it possible that something could not be decided and we already know what it's going to be? But there, you know, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead has that capability. Yeah.
You can't understand it.
Yeah. Achintya Shakti. He has inconceivable potencies. Achintya means you can't figure it out.
You have to accept that.
Same thing. I can't figure out. How is it that this tree is drinking water with its feet and producing lemons? Now, how does he do that? I can't figure it out. But he does it.
How the cow is giving milk.
Yeah, how's the cow giving milk? It's like, you know.
Grass. And
grass.
I can't do that.
even the cow can't do that, just does it.
Yeah.
It can't decide or calculate to
just
do it.
You know, they're not known for being particularly smart, but they come up with this, you know, great stuff. Every living entity has some power. Mosquito. How is it that mosquito, like, knows, you know, as soon as you're going to move on him, he's out of the way.
How do they find us?
Yeah, you know, like the army would love to know how the, you know, how the mosquito does that. Every living being has some inconceivable power. You know, what is inconceivable? It means you can't figure it out.
Bin Laden, he's like a mosquito.
What's that?
Bin Laden.
Bin Laden. Okay. We're going to talk about him later. Yes. Yes. Loud.
Krishna knows the future, and like for a devotee, like he doesn't want to commit any sinful activities, but he is still engaging himself in some sinful activities. So why does Krishna, because he knows that he's going to do that in the future, in my life, he's going to do that, so why does he allow him to do that?
That's, otherwise he's blocking free will. And Krishna knows that this person's going to do this, but it's not my business to step in and say, okay, this can't happen, that can't happen, this can't happen, that can't happen. Why? Free will.
But from his heart, he doesn't want to do it. Like, he wants to serve Krishna, he wants to be around Krishna.
So Krishna can also, he can't, it's not that Krishna has no power. He can intervene also. He can just walk in and change everything. That's also there. He knows what's going to happen, and he can say, okay, let it happen. Or he knows what's going to happen, he said, this isn't going to happen. That's his free will. If we have free will, how much free will does he have? He can do as he likes. Yes?
So basically what I understand is that we have free will, but Krishna knows in advance what the choice is going to be.
Yep.
Even though we can choose whatever we want,
yep.
He already knows what we'll choose.
Yep. How you like that?
And sometimes he uses yoga maya not to know what we know, right?
Krishna, does he... Yes, sometimes he uses yoga maya not so much not to know what we know, but in his pastimes, someone is knowing that Krishna is going to steal my butter. But by Yoga Maya's influence, Krishna doesn't know that she knows.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it spoils the fun. Oh, that's Yoga Maya also. Yes.
But sometimes it's not so hard to say what the person will do because.
Yeah, sometimes it's not so hard.
Somebody, and you know, he always acts like that.
Yeah.
So,
our limited power, we can understand all, you know, I know the future.
So, Krishna also knows he's like that. He wants to do this thing.
Exactly how Krishna knows, we don't quite know. But we know that we have some ability to tell the future, either by seeing the signs or by intuition or whatever. Krishna has unlimited power to know the future. Yeah, but not, that's like not, I wouldn't say Prabhupada, you know, proved that he had mystic powers because he warned Gandhi, you know, it wasn't like Prabhupada said on such and such day, such and such person is going to assassinate you. I mean, we all know the future, everyone's going to die.
What did he say, Prabhupada?
He said you're going to die. And that's not like, I wouldn't go holding that up as like, proof that Prabhupada had paranormal powers. The real proof is, you know, he made so many devotees. Okay, we're moving ahead. We really are. Ichcha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. Very valuable verse. Krishna says, sarvabhutani sammoham. All the living beings are in illusion. Why? Ichcha dvesha samutena, dvandva mohena, illusioned by duality. Happiness and cold, happiness and distress, heat and cold, pleasure and pain, blonde and brunette, this and that, you know, they're all in dualities. Coming from illusion, ichcha dvesha samutena, which has arisen from ichcha and dvesha. Ichcha means desire, and dvesha means aversion. Sarvabhutani sammoha. All living entities are sammoha, completely bewildered. And sarge, in this way, they take birth in material world. Yes?
Can you give an example of dualities that arise from hate?
You hear Prabhupada gives the example. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord. That's his desire. And he envies the personality of Godhead. That's the hatred part. Why should he be God? Why do we have to do everything for him? Why can't I just enjoy on my own? Why do I have to do everything for his pleasure? So it's desire. Why can't I enjoy? And envy. Why him? Why do I have to, you know, why? Ultimately, it's envy of Krishna. Aversion to Krishna and desire to enjoy Krishna's property. Ravana. Attraction to Sita and aversion to Ram.
Maharaj, this six enemies, like there is envy. He was one time explaining to... This envy means like that he has something what I don't have, or this hate, like, you know. What it means, this envy?
No?
That envy in English?
Oh, envy.
Yeah.
Well, envy in English usually means I'm sorry that somebody else has something that I don't have. That's usually envy. Mm-hmm. But Prabhupada seems to use it often in the sense of hatred.
Mm-hmm.
So dvesha, Prabhupada sometimes translates it as envy. Here he just outright gives hatred.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a definition that rejoicing in other people's suffering and becoming sad in other people's happiness.
That he gives that as envy?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else here? The explanation is very good. Very key verse. It's a subject matter for a lot. You can think about this one.
Yeah. Although Bhagavad Gita would be considered like a religious book, but actually this is essential to the study of human psychology.
Yeah. A lot of the points here in Bhagavad Gita, it's not just a question of you may be religious or irreligious. Everybody can understand. This is the nature, this is what's going on. We're all interested in, you know, what we want, and we're all trying to dodge what we don't want. You know, security systems to keep out the thieves, and, you know, exploitation systems so that we can be the thieves. You know, how to minimize your risk and maximize your profit. Because I want profit and I don't want loss. So everybody's in this duality, you know, I want the sex, but I don't want her pregnant. Desire and aversion. You know, I want the, I want the goose, but I don't want to feed it. You know, we all want the good side, and we want to keep away from the bad side. So you're right, the whole, it's practical. But Krishna says this is all because of illusion. Okay, we're moving ahead a little bit. Oh, we're out of time, but we're going to move ahead anyway.
Two verses.
Yesham tu antakatam papam. Somehow I'm thinking 115. Anyway. Yesham twantakatam papam, jananam, punyakarmanam. Te dvanva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dribhavitaha. This is very practical. Antagatam papam, those who come to the end of sinful activities. And punyakarmanam, those who perform pious activities. Te, those persons, dvandva moha, we just heard about dvandva and moha in the previous verse, the duality that comes from illusion. Te dvandva moha nirmukta, they can be freed from that. And when they're freed from that, what happens? Bhajante mam dridhavrata. Then they can engage in my devotional service, dridhavrata, very seriously. It means if I'm not engaged in Krishna's service very seriously, I must still be affected by past reactions of sinful activity. Therefore, the spiritual master says, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no meat eating. Why? Antagatam papa. These are the pillars of sinful life. You knock these down, and all the, you know, the little sins start to crumble. Because you can't go on with intoxication, gambling, meat-eating, illicit sex, and make rapid progress in devotional service. Antakatam papam. One has to reach the end of sinful activities. And jananam, punyakarmanam, perform pious activities. Pious activities, how is it glossed here? It can be just like in Karmakanda, there are pious activities to give charity, to perform some austerities, to plant trees, dig wells, make roads, open hospitals, all this kind of stuff is pious activity, to follow the principles of Dharma according to Varnashram is pious activity. There are so many pious activities, Sukriti. We read before, Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Sukriti. Those who are pious become attracted to me. But real Sukriti means past devotional service. If one knowingly or unknowingly renders service to a devotee or does something for the service of Krishna, that's real Sukriti.
In that context.
Yeah, the Sukriti is temporary.
Agyata Sukriti. Let's see how Vishwanath glosses it real quickly. He doesn't say. Oh, yes, he does. He quotes from Bhagavatam, even though one engages with great endeavor in the mystic yoga system, philosophical speculation, charity, vows, penances, ritualistic sacrifices, teaching of Vedic mantras to others, personal study of the Vedas, or the renounced order of life, still one cannot achieve me. So these are all punyakarmas, and he says, it's stated in many places that punyakarmas are dependent on pure devotional service and are not its cause. So these are favorable conditions, but simply punyakarma doesn't bring you to devotional service. But those who have performed punyakarma, who have come to the end of sinful activities, when they come in touch with devotional service, then they can take it very seriously. Okay.
And it does say here that they are freed, but it doesn't say they are freed because of their pious activities.
No.
As implying that Krishna is freeing
no.
them.
Yeah. The other side is, Prabhupada turns it around and says, if someone's engaged in devotional service, it means he's come to the end of sinful activities, he's performed all pious activities. Just like if you have a PhD, it's understood that you've already passed the MA and, you know, all the lesser degrees. If someone's engaged in devotional service, he's already performed all the pious activities. He doesn't have to do anything in the pious activity department. He's already gone past that because he's engaged in the supreme pious activity. Okay? Important verse. Are we on the last one now? Yes, we are. No, last two. Jara marana mokshaya mama shritya yatantiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakilam. Mama shritya tanti ye, persons who take shelter of me, jara marana mokshaya, to get free from death and old age, te brahma, they're actually brahma, because they know everything about transcendental activities. This is, for technical reasons, an unusual translation, but it's an important point that Prabhupada's making. But those who engage in transcendental activities, they're actually Brahma. If you actually are on the spiritual platform, then you act in spiritual, you act spiritually. Such persons have no misgivings about Krishna, unless they are factually Brahma. Brahma means spirit. Their spirit, in fact, the pure devotees are transcendentally situated on the Brahman platform, and they know everything about transcendental activities. Okay? Any question there? Point Prabhupada often makes. Sadi bhutadi daivam mam sadi yagya cha ye viduhu prayana kale pichamam te vidur yukta chetasa. Krishna is introducing some technical terms here. In the previous verse, he's introduced adhyatma, and here adibhuta, adidaiva, adiyagya. These are all technical terms. He says, one who knows all of these, prayana kale, at the end of time, that is, at the time of death, prayana kale, at the time of death, te vidur, they can know me, yukta chetasa, being engaged in devotional service. Really, what's, you know, we're not going to discuss what adiyagya is, what adidaiva is, what adibhuta is, because that all comes up right at the beginning of the 8th chapter. Arjuna's going to say, what is that? Kim tad brahma, kim adhyatma, kim karma, purushottama. Adi bhutam cha kim proktam, adi yagya, yeah? Adi yagya cha kimuchite, adi daivam kimuchite. He's going to ask about all of these things. In the last two verses, Krishna's mentioned brahma, he's mentioned karma, he's mentioned adhyatma, adi daivas, adi bhuta. So, Arjuna has the same questions that you do. What's adibhuta? What's adidaiva? What's adiyagya? What is all this? And, most important, how can one know you at the time of death? How can, even at the time of death? Time of death is the toughest time. How can one know you even at the time of death? That's the subject matter when we meet again on Monday. Goodbye. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila
Prabhupada.
Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveta bhakta vrinda ki jai. Gaur premanande. Kim tad brahma, kim adhyatma. Yes.
Same question I asked you about the chanting. What would you do? Like if you got some ideas while you were chanting, what would you think is best to do?
I used to carry around a notebook and write everything down.
Yeah.
Now, these days, I'm trying not to do that. Yeah. And just chant. You figure, you know, we have so many hours in the day to do so many things. So if we put everything else aside for 2 hours, even at the sacrifice of some good ideas,
it's worthwhile.
It might be worth it, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Because we have to be, I mean, we shouldn't be too attached to the result in that time, I guess. I guess we're attached to the result.
I don't mind being attached to the result. I am attached to the result. When I have a good idea, I'd like to hold on to it. But I think I'm attached to the result of chanting, too. you know, there's got to be some time when we just chant.
Okay.
And there's always competition from, yeah, but what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? I don't want to forget about this. Let me think about that. And, you know, and it's all related to Krishna consciousness somehow or other. Some of it very definitely, some of it by some sort of obscure connection. But if we dedicate just 2 hours just to chanting, we'll have to be set for that.
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Yeah, but it could be problematic also if we start writing down notes and then we start contemplating about the ideas.
Yeah, then 2 hours is up and you spend the whole 2 hours thinking about, well, that's a good idea, but if I do that, then what's going to happen? Well, what's probably going to happen is this. And, I know what I can do about that. Let me write this one down. And all your good ideas are coming during japa. But, you know, chanting japa with full attention is also a good idea. When are we going to put that one in place? So there's a lot to be said for... And it's interesting, you can train the mind also. It's interesting, like, for example... If you're very particular at the time you take rest, to think of a particular thing. You know, you say, when I wake up, I want to think of this.
Mm-hmm.
If you fix your mind that way, you will think of that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Leo. It's a question of training. You know, a person who trains his mind that, you know, before I take rest, I'm going to just spend another couple of minutes and think about, you know, where I'm going to start tomorrow. And because he thinks that way, he does it. Or a person thinks, you know, by training, he thinks, you know, I want to get up 6.5 hours from now. And because he fixes his mind that way, 6.5 hours later, he gets up. So there's a lot that can be done in terms of just training the mind. So, and, you know, there are people who like train that they've got memory tricks. You know, when they meet a person, they just spend a couple moments looking at something or other, fixing something about his face in their mind. And they link that to something, and they've got that person's name for their life. I don't know how they do it for the life of me, but they do it. Indian people in general, they got it down. When they meet a person, they focus, they've got his name, they know who his brother is, who his cousin is, who his, you know, who's who. And they meet that person 7 years later, they still remember, you know, you're the electric light business, isn't it? Your brother's working for, is he still working for, you know? Why? It's attention. It's attention and training, you know, material. Material attention and training of the mind. So it's possible to train the mind, okay, you know, that's a good idea. Remind me of that 2 hours from now.
Should we repose our faith on Krishna for the remembrance of it later, or should we actually act or depend on him in that
it's a question of habits, you know.
Habits.
That, again, by training, that I'll put this off and, you know, I've got my system, I'll remember it 2 hours from now. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, well, you know, life will go on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really good at it, you'll remember it. If you're not all that good at it, you'll forget it. And if it, all right, I forgot it, but I remembered the most important thing. I chanted my 16 rounds of attention.
I guess if it's meant to serve Krishna in the future, I mean, if it's meant to be a service to
think
of that.
There are very few ideas that are just are that great.
Yeah.
That, you know, your life would depend on it, but you forgot it. Usually if something's that important, you don't forget it. It's the somewhat important ideas that you forget. If it's really important, you say, wow, I'm not going to forget that. And then you make sure that you don't forget it one way or another. And if it's not that important, then maybe your chanting's more important.
Isn't it likely to be some subtle maya?
Well, that's also there. I mean, the danger is that who is that Yadunath did a skit, you know, of different things people do chanting japa. And he had, you know, the guy with the japa bag and the pencil, you know, where he's Hare Krishna, and he's writing something down, Krishna, Krishna, and he's writing something else down. Ram, Ram, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty soon you're all, you know, you're all pen and paper and there's no japa left.
Mm-hmm.
So,
were you telling the story of someone saying, oh, I had a really interesting japa period today?
No, I didn't.
Because actually they were,
oh, yeah,
they were devising all kinds,
yeah,
of things.
No, it was my story. Now, if something, you know, the spiritual master, you know, gives an urgent phone call from Singapore and wants you to do X, Y, Z,
mm-hmm.
now maybe that's worth writing down.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You can't afford to forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the deities are expected, you know, to arrive at Kennedy Airport on Flight 47. And you have to call this telephone number in order to get the documents to pick them up. Well, maybe that's worth writing down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like a written in stone that I can never write anything down during japa. I can never do anything during japa. Some things are so important. You can stop, you know, you could be offering RT and you could stop for something, you know, sufficiently important.
Yes. When there's a guest here, you can stop.
You can stop.
Yeah, there's no one to greet the guest.
Yeah. Yeah, there's things that you can stop. You know, you can stop it to save your life. You can stop everything.
Yeah.
Mobile phone. Japa period, mobile phone.
Yeah, mobile phones. I mean, there's so many things that, that, you know, so there are things that you could, you know, it's just, hey, you know, this is just more important than chanting my 16 rounds. Your spiritual master comes and says, you know, I want you to do X. Sorry, Gurudev, I'm chanting my rounds.
Yeah,
you can drop everything. But in our normal practice, yeah, we can afford to put other things aside so that we have undiverted time for chanting. Something I need to get better at. What do you want?
Maharaj, do we have all these Gita revisions explained in detail somewhere?
www.jswami.info krishna.com/ Gita Revs Explained.
Oh, Gita Revisions Explained. I think
Gita Revs Explained .html. I guess that's what it is.
Gita Rev, huh?
www.krishna.com.
Krishna.com. And all one word. I think it's Krishna with K-R-S-H in it. But it's either one. Slash.
Krishna with I-S-H.
Yeah.
Slash.
Krishna.com.
Or the other way.
Yeah, yeah. Slash that way. Gita Revs Explained, all one word.
Okay. Revs Explained.
.html, I guess. Or I think if you just put Gita Revs Explained, that gets it.
Explain or explained?
Explained.
Okay.
The other way you can find it is www.jswami.info/editing.
These are your websites?
This one's mine. Krishna.com is PBT's.
Or you can also find it in the files on your computer I gave.
jswami.info slash editing. There you'll find quite a number of relevant things about the editing of the book.
You have it on your computer, everything.
Oh, I have everything.
In a folder, Granta, Iskon, Jadvaita Swami.
Okay.
Editing.
Okay. I have everything. Okay.
Okay. La la la. Okay.
What is the last day of in January of your teaching? You're leaving what day?
I forget. Someplace around
15?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right around there. But you'll notice that we're ahead.
Oh yeah, we are.
Yeah,
we are ahead. Yeah.
Does it mean we'll be a bit more slack in the end, or we'll finish early? I'm leaving on the 11th.
Means we'll finish early. When I leave, we should be finished. When I leave, we are finished. But we should have completed the course by the
my
time.
My flight is on the
11th. You'll miss some.
How come the exam is on the 27th December?
That Krishna knows.
That's the first module. There's first module first and then the second module. But
that's the back to Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, first module up to chapter 9.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah. Okay, they're called.
But we will finish more than chapter 9 before the first module ends. I was thinking about it actually. I could even throw a couple double classes in here in this first section. Bhakadama Kanamaj is out.
By starting earlier?
No, right now. Are you guys doing heavy stuff now? Do they have you doing exams? Or? Yeah.
I think we have Bhakti Charu Maharaj coming.
I know that. He's coming on the 5th.
The 5th?
And he's starting the 6th.
Okay. Today's the 1st, right?
How's your workload right now? That's my question. They have you doing experts.